Hey neighbor, we got Mama Hoss back in the house. Glad to have you back. You've been on a little vacation.
Yeah, I got to spend a whole 7 days with my Ohio grandbabies.
Yep, so we had Tracy last week, but you back? Feeling the seat. Folks, today we're talking about gardening, but we're specifically talking about growing those sweet potatoes. Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy. Well, Tracy filled in good for you last week. We had a good, deep conversation about seeds.
I saw some really good comments.
We did. We had good, and she stayed afterwards, and we had a good sit down for a couple of hours. It was very interesting, just a great time with her. She is one of my go-to. She's a very, if anybody knows the seed industry, it is Tracy. She knows it well, and she gives us insight all the time on what we need to do and don't need to do.
And just an over likable person.
She is likable, a good person. So anyhow, thank you, Tracy. So we're talking about sweet potatoes this week, but we're going to get into, well, we got to figure out the garden thing first. So I thought about it just a couple days ago, and you mentioned it last night. We got to plant some gourds. Mm-hmm. We don't normally plant a lot of gourds, but I've gotten to the point where I plant some type of gourd every year. Now, one thing that I planted last year was a drum gourd, very unusual drum gourd.
And you haven't played the drums yet.
I've not played the drums, but they made really good. I should have showed one of them today. They did really well. And I made some of the smaller ones. I made some birdhouses for the grandchildren and gave them to them. Mm-hmm. And they hung them in the tree. They was crazy about them. But anyhow, this year I'm going to grow birdhouse gourds I've not grown in years.
Bigger ones or smaller ones?
The bigger ones. You know, the regular birdhouse gourds, like you make Martin houses out of. Now, this is what I do. I normally put my gourds on a fence or somewhere out of the ordinary garden plot that I'm going to put somewhere, because they can take a fence or a trellis, whatever, and they grow easy peasy. And I put them in an area that I normally not going to use anyway, and let's just let them go. I don't do a whole lot to them and make way more gourds than we ever need. But it's just fun to have gourds. I like growing gourds. You can't do nothing decorative or birdhouse gourds.
I like to paint them.
Yep. So we got plant. I'm going to plant birdhouse gourds. 2 years ago, I grew
There's the bumpy ones.
The bumpy ones. I forgot the name. We actually sell the seeds. We sell the bumpy ones. Those are really good for crafty stuff. We had a 4-H teacher come out here and got a bunch of those. Used for a lot of their projects. Well, anyway, I love to give them away. And growing gourds is something that's, if you got a spot that you're not using, especially if you got a fence on there, heck, plant it with some gourds.
Mm-hmm. I've got a trellis up now.
You do have a trellis up. Yes, you do.
Yeah, finally. I've got my trellis up in my potager garden. The only thing, you still got to do my swing. Maybe that'd be a good weekend project.
I need one more weekend project. Mm-hmm.
And my garden shed.
Garden shed, weekend swing project. Yep. That's one more thing to do. I had to keep your garden up while you was gone.
And you did a very good job.
Very good job. So glad to have you back. Because you actually maintain your garden by yourself pretty much. It's good. Your garden's looking extremely well. I had salad out of your garden a couple of times while you was gone. So, yep. All right. So I got to mention this right here before we go any further. We got a good friend of ours, a customer named Steve Wheat. Steve brought us 2 jars of these tomatoes the other day. Now, these are green tomatoes right here, and we love fried green tomatoes, but they're seasonal. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, we only have them certain times of year. Steve sent us a recipe on how you can actually can green tomatoes and fry them, and according to him, they're as good as fresh fried green tomatoes.
Hmm.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, I might have to cook some up for next week's show.
So he says, just take them out of here and you lay them on a paper towel and let them dry, and then you just treat them like you would a regular fried green tomato. Did he send the recipe to you?
He did. I'll have to share that.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the description below. It seemed like it was real easy just to follow.
What a great idea to have fried green tomatoes anytime you want them, because that's one of those things we feel like that's something special we get during the year.
Yeah.
If you've never had fried green tomatoes, folks, you don't know what you're missing out on. Now, my mother can make the best fried green tomatoes of anybody, I thought.
And you've tried to.
And I've tried to replicate it. But it's just for summer that's not the same. But she could make fried green. She would dice hers and then make a patty out of them, which was very unusual.
Yeah. Anyway. talking about mamas, I made some biscuits for mama yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
She liked them?
She did. She was very proud of me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She said they were pretty, they tasted good. And then I think I had never cooked a biscuit for my mother.
Wow.
Isn't that strange?
Well, your mother always made you biscuits. So you probably feel a little intimidated.
Yeah, but I wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
They're perfect.
Yep, so I got knife of the week, folks. Blade of the week. Now, this is going to be a good one right here. I actually got a new one ordered. It's supposed to be in Dan. I wasn't going to tell you about it. I ordered me a new knife. You know, I talked to my neighbor the other day. We have this, you know, the old show. What's the old show on the TV where the neighbors talk through the fence?
Yeah.
We have that thing going on here.
Hey, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor. So I got a neighbor that we got a fence in between him and me and him talk. And he's a younger guy. Actually, it's father-son. The son lives in the back and father lives up front. But the guy in the back has the same knife problem I got. So we always talking knives through the fence. And I told him the other day, I said, Jared, I need a support person. So when I have this inkling to order a knife, just you going to talk me out of it.
Know.
You know what I mean? We can work the same both ways. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not your man. So anyway, this one right here, folks, this is a tearjerker here. Are you familiar with this one? You're not familiar with this right here. This is a very unusual knife. I actually think somebody brought my attention. This is a cigar thing. So you put your cigar there and you cut your tips. I'm not a cigar smoker, okay? But I think that I always thought it was just a regular knife. And look here, it's nothing special by no means. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know that much about it. But I think somebody said that. But I'm going to tell you, folks. So years ago, I mentored a little kid at school, I did this for probably, I don't know what, 3 or 4 years? This little kid had a learning disability.
About 5 years.
Yeah, and I mentored him every Tuesday morning. I went there and spent an hour with him reading or whatever at the school. They got this mentoring program up there. And I did this for probably 5 years. When this kid turned 16 years old, he died in a car wreck down from my house one night, in a curb. Single car accident that he died one night, and it was just heartbreaking for all of us. But his mother gave me this knife that he had.
That was one of his favorite knives.
That was one of his favorite. I'm going to get a little emotional here. But anyhow, she gave this to me. And,
yeah. Oh, his name was Evan.
Yeah, nothing special, but it's special to me. So.
Yeah. And a funny thing to add to that story is when he had to write a paper can you tell it?
I can. I've told it several times. I actually told it at church one time. So we had this project one day because they'd give us these little projects to do. And he was to write down on a blank sheet of paper and we was going to talk about it. Who did he idolize or who did he look up to? And
this was after you tutoring for 5 years.
Yeah, so I said, Evan, I want you to really write down who somebody that you idolize, and you think a world of, and we're going to talk about this. Well, in me, in my weird way of thinking, I said, he's going to write down the principal of the school, somebody, maybe a school teacher, or maybe me, somebody that he's really been, close to, his mom and daddy, maybe the president of the United States, whatever. I opened that sheet of paper up, and Evan had wrote down there, the trash man. And I said, wow, Evan, that's pretty profound. And I got thinking to myself, why the trash man? And I said, Evan, why did you write down the trash man? Why does he mean so much to me? He said this right here. He said, every time the trash man comes by my house, he takes the time to stop and wave and talk to me. So I thought that was pretty profound. What a little bit of difference we can make in somebody's lives.
Especially
and it was profound as that.
Yeah.
So I actually took that note that he wrote down there and found the trash man and shared that with the trash man.
Mm.
So that was he made his day as well. So we got to move on. Woo! All right. So let's talk about sweet tooth.
Sweet. Before that, what have you got going on in your garden?
Oh man, I got corn growing like crazy, sweet corn. I got Hickory King growing. I got tomatoes growing, peppers growing. We are fixing to plant a seed crop of Roselle in May. So I got a lot of things going. Everything's looking good. Watermelon's growing good. So, yep, everything's doing well.
Yeah. Thanks to you keeping all mine watered, everything I planted is up.
Good.
It was good.
Yep. Everything's, we've had a little cool spell here in the last few days, but everything's coming out of it.
Now, the one thing that looks a little rough is my garlic. Did you notice it?
I did.
It looks almost like it's been scalded.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but it did look a little rough. But we just have a hard time growing garlic here. Man, hard neck and soft neck garlic is what you're talking about. So, yeah, it's tough. Sweet potatoes. All right, folks, if you've never grown sweet potatoes, it's one of those things, especially here in the South. Sweet potatoes are easy to grow. Let me paint the picture here just for a minute on sweet potatoes. They're a little bit different than your normal spring crop because sweet potatoes love the heat. We normally plant them later in the season than we do our spring garden crop, but they give us a wonderful bounty later in the fall of the year that we can take, and they store as long as up to 12 months if done properly. So sweet potatoes is something, if you've never grown before, I think you should probably try, because they fit that window there where we can grow things in the middle of the hot summertime in the heat, even when it's dry, that actually that plant loves that type of weather. And they're fun to grow. You can get a good harvest out of them. There's not a lot to do about them. Now, one thing I've known or I found out about sweet potatoes is they don't like to be messed with a lot. Once you set up the foundation of growing them and do the right thing, Maggie just decided she wanted to leave out on the set, so she just got up and left. She comes sits underneath our table.
Apparently, she's not interested.
Interested in sweet potatoes. She just said, "Heck with this," and walked off. But anyway, you don't have to do a lot with them. They just do their own thing. Once you get the foundation set up, and you know, one of the best crops I ever made was out in a whole lot, and Maggie decided to come back just like that. So, come here, Maggie. Yes. So anyhow, sweet potatoes. Let's go over some of the main varieties, and let's talk about how you would set up doing it. Okay. Now, the great thing about sweet potatoes is you can grow your own slips or tips. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of things most people may not know. You grow a sweet potato from the plant that comes off of the actual sweet potato. Some people call these slips or draws or whatever, but you can also cut the tops. And the way the commercial sweet potato grows is they actually just mow the tops with something like a scissor mower, and they take those tips, and that's what they plant because they root so easy. So you can do that, or you can get the draws or pull the roots off of it. But you plant the potato. It shoots up these sprouts. Those sprouts is what you pull or you cut off, and that's what you plant. And that's what makes the sweet potato right there. So you can do it two different ways. You can grow your own slips, which I did last year as an experiment. And I'm going to tell you, it was easy.
We'll have to link that video on how to do that.
So I took a 4x8 bed. You can take a 4x8 bed, and you can grow enough slips for all that you want and to share with several of your neighbors. You can get that many off just a 4x8 bed. I did this in a raised bed, which is ideal. I just stacked my potatoes in there, covered them up with straw. Next thing you know, in about 4 or 5 weeks, they just started sprouting up. And I would go out there and pull off or cut off what we needed. I shared with several different friends. So that's one way you can do it. Now, the caveat that is potatoes are known to get disease in them. So you want to resupply your seed stock every now and then. From the home gardener, I think every other year or every 2 to 3 years is probably sufficient. So you can get your own seed stock, grow them back every year. But you do want to resupply every few years. Now, the commercial farmers, and I talked to one of these guys yesterday. I called him on the phone. I got a friend that grows probably over 100 acres of sweet potatoes. And we had this conversation. He said they buy 50% new rooting stock every year for their crop. So they take half every year and bring in new slips to keep everything fresh. Mm. Now, the guy that grows our sweet potato slips for us, I believe he told me every 3 years they go back to foundation seed stock. Now, foundation seed stock is more than the average homeowners once goes back to, but foundation seed stock every 3 years to resupply to make sure that the variety stays the same, the disease resistance and all that stays good, and it stays pure to variety. So just because you got seed potatoes doesn't mean you don't need to resupply every 3 years. 2 to 3 years is what I would say.
So what's the, when people put them like over a quart jar and let them root in water?
Yeah, and they sprout up. Yeah, cut those sprouts off and plant them. Yeah.
I mean, that's the same.
It's the same exact thing. We're just doing it on a smaller scale than what we did in a raised bed. But don't get all crazy if you want to grow your own slips. A 4x8 is plenty for most people out there. So that's easy to do. Now, sweet potatoes love the heat, so we don't want to plant them early on. The best results I've ever got is planting mine the end of May, 1st of June. Here in the deep south, they love the heat, come off there in the fall of the year. Normally 90 to 120 days to maturity there. So we plant them end of May. We got June, July, August coming off at the end of August, 1st September, which is perfect time to enjoy those sweet potatoes. Because for some reason, we love sweet potatoes in the fall of the year.
Right. And we plant enough for us and our animals.
Oh, yeah. The hogs love them. Yep.
That's a treat for them.
So, you know, let's talk about how I plant my sweet potatoes. Have you ever planted in a raised bed? You've not.
No.
Well, I grew the shrimps in raised beds, but I always plant sweet potatoes out in the garden because I like to plant a pretty good spot of them. So I normally plant mine on in toward the end of May. And by the way, if you're not growing your own shrimps and you need shrimps, we're going to have shrimps available to sometime to around the first part of June. So you can buy shrimps and plant them. And then next year, save your potatoes. Grow your own shrimps and share them with your neighbors. And maybe every couple of years you want to
replenish.
But anyway, all right, let's move on. I plant my potatoes. Normally I plant mine on 36 inch to 4 foot in between my rows. I find that to be ideal, 36 to 4 foot in between my rows. And then that would be 3 foot to 4 foot. Yeah, 36 inches, 3 foot. The math getting you, right? 3 to 4 foot between my row spacing there, and that I use drip irrigation. And the reason I use drip irrigation because we never know what kind of summer we're gonna have. Sweet potatoes will take a good bit of dry weather, but if we have one of those dry years, I got
those leaves wilt and stress.
Yeah, I got the drip irrigation down there, and I plant my slips 12 inches apart on that drip emitter. So I turn my emitters on my drip irrigation, and I just plant on those emitters there. 3 to 4 foot apart. All right, once I plant and they start growing, I keep them fertilized. I put down a pre-plant of some complete organic, which works good. And then I fertilize as I go along because they like a decent amount of fertilizer. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But I heal them a lot. I throw soil to them, and that helps twofold. That keeps the weeds out of those middles right there. And they love to be healed. The more dirt you throw to them, if you got leaves coming out the top, they just love that, and they'll continue to grow and put on. And it also helps with those potatoes to yield more in that mound. You can mound them up as much as this right here, just huge mounds of potatoes there.
I don't think you remember, because he probably didn't do it right after we got married, but Papa used to grow potatoes for the market. He would sell them in Thomasville.
Mm-hmm.
And he would rent this land down from the house. Oh, and it was so hot, dry.
It's always hot when you grow potatoes.
But he would mound his up. And I remember my older sister, it was her job to lay the slip every so often. And then I'd come along and I had this long stick.
Poke
it down in there.
Yep, yep. That would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more than I got to plan. I do it, but y'all was planting acres.
We was planting acres.
Yeah, fond memories.
It was fond memories.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't like it then.
And what kind of irrigation did he use? Did he have any?
None.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll take a good bit of dry weather. I mean, I'm not saying it's a necessity to use drip irrigation. It's just a good insurance policy for me. If you don't have drip irrigation or access to it, by all means, plant some potatoes. You can use overhead irrigation if you need to. Let's talk about fertility a little bit. So I like a good pre-plant, complete organic or chicken manure, any kind of organic matter. I like that as far as a pre-plant goes. Once potatoes up start going, you can make 2 to 3 or maybe even 4 applications. Normally speaking, you want 80 units of N per acre. Let's break that down into, that would be, if my math is correct, that would be 2 pounds per 1,000 square feet of pure N per acre. On phosphorus, you normally don't want as much. You want about 50 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and that's gonna break that down. It's gonna be about 1 pound of phosphorus per 1,000 square feet. Potassium is the big one there. These root crops, especially sweet potatoes, love potassium. So if you can get you some muriate of potash or something like that, you're going to need about 150 pounds of that per acre. And we're going to break that down. It breaks down to about 3.5 pounds, per 1,000 square feet. So a couple of split applications of maybe something like a 10-10-10 and maybe an extra application of subtype nitrogen, maybe calcium nitrate. And then if you can get your hands on some muriate of potash, kind of hit it a couple of times there, I think that would be a good strategy on a general fertilizer schedule for potatoes.
Let's go back to the soil requirements.
Yeah, one thing that I read just today that I didn't know, and if you want to get some good information from sweet potato grower, North Carolina State probably has the best out there. Did you know 50% of all sweet potatoes consumed in the United States come out of North Carolina? North Carolina is one of the, or is the largest state producing sweet potatoes in the United States. So North Carolina State has a lot of good resources as far as sweet potatoes growing, curing, that kind of thing. And they did say that a good loamy soil is the ideal type soil for growing sweet potatoes. You don't necessarily want a high organic soil. 2% or less organic matter in soil is ideal. I didn't realize
that. What would the high organic do?
I'm assuming it would cause some problems with some disease. I don't really know.
Or would it cause the pH to be off?
No, it wouldn't cause the pH to be off. You want somewhere around a 6.5 for pH. Somewhere in there, right there. A good loamy soil is ideal. Hard clay soils just don't do good with potatoes. So if you got hard clay soils and you got some loamy dirt somewhere else, try to plant in that loamy area because these clay soils, it's tough. Sandy soils do okay, but loamy soils are the best. But anyhow, I thought that was interesting. 2%. For us in the South, that's not a big deal because about all of our soils are 2% or less. So it's no big deal for us. 90 to 100 days sweet potatoes love the heat, love dry weather. So it's one of those few plants that just thrive during July and August out there. Another thing too, and we realized this last couple of years, the leaves on these things are absolutely delicious to eat, folks. Full of vitamins.
Yeah. Time of year when you don't have the turnips or the mustard or the collards.
Yep. It's... yep. Let's talk about a couple of big pests on those. Two of the biggest ones are, is wireworms and flea beetles. Flea beetles are those little holes that gets in your leaves from time to time. You can spray those with a lot of different things to kind of control the flea beetles. You need to do it probably early on. Bug Buster too is probably one of the better things to hit with that. If you're trying to go organic, you could probably go with some neem oil or something like that, but you're going to need to hit them early and quick and heavy. Wireworms is a big issue for sweet potatoes. And what this is when you dig those sweet potatoes and you have these little bitty holes in your potatoes about the size of a piece of wire, it can be frustrating. What has happened is a worm has drilled into your potato there. Wireworms are one of the biggest problems growing sweet potatoes. It's not a whole lot for the home gardener you can do. Now, back in the day, we had some pretty harsh insecticides that you could put into the ground that would control wireworms. If you remember, MoCap or Diaznon, and there's still Diaznons available. I'm not sure if it's available to the home gardener, but there is some pretty harsh insecticides the commercial guys can put into the soil. For the home gardener, there's not anything like that available. I'm not sure you would want to use it anyway. The biggest thing you need to do is good rotation. The best thing to follow for if you want to counteract a wireworm infestation is corn or some type of monocot cover crop. When I say monocot, that means a grass. So if you got a grass cover crop, sorghum sedan grass, anything like that, millet. Or it's kind of hard to get corn, but if you had a spot that corn was in last year, you could come behind that for your sweet potatoes would be a good one. A good grass type cover crop or corn is the best thing to follow with sweet potatoes for wireworm control. I also think, and I didn't read anything on this, but this is just a hunch, I think our biofumigate mustards work really well as planting in the wintertime to extinguish and then to plant, come behind that and plant the sweet potatoes will give good control of wireworms.
So what, when you cut into sweet potato, they have the black spots?
Oh, that could be several different diseases right there. There's several different called scurf and several other things like that. Good management, plant them on a good dry spot. You don't want to plant these things in a low area. Plant them in a good dry spot with soils that drain well. Don't let them lay in the ground no more when they need to. When those vines start yelling up, it's time to get them out of the ground. Is the best, some of those cultural things is the best thing you can do to counteract some of those diseases there. And sometimes if we have a rainy year, it just happens. It's part of gardening. It's part of growing. But for the most part, you want a good, hot, dry summer. Mm-hmm. And you can make a heck of a sweet potato crop. And one thing that I do personally is I mow those vines off. When I get rid of harvest, it makes harvesting way easier because they have to do it with a digging fork. Full of nutrients. We love to eat them. They store well. Yeah. You got to cure them out. That's a different story. We'll talk about that later when
you harvest them. It's kind of like you want to let them lay out there a day, let the dirt dry.
Yeah, and you want to put them in a little area there so they have high humidity and hot temperature for 3 or 4.
High humidity?
You want high humidity, yep. So what I've done before, I don't let you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You know, we got one of them little humidifiers.
Yeah, I remember you.
I made a little tent out of plastic and cured eyes out there. It worked great. But these things can last up 12 months. No refrigeration. It's a wonderful source of food. And heck, who doesn't love good sweet potato? She loves sweet potato fries. I don't. I love them baked. I love sweet potato souffle. All right, so let's go over some varieties real quick. I made just some notes on this right here. Beauregard is one of the newer varieties out there. It is a high yielding variety. It has that light rose colored skin there. It has that orange flesh inside there. Early and prolific plant producer. It is susceptible to root knot nematodes. So if you have okra out there that's got a lot of nematode problems, you know you got root knot nematodes. You may not want to plant Beauregard. If you do, you want to make provisions for that. It's also susceptible to flea beetles. We talked about flea beetles just a minute ago. But, however, it is one of the easiest ones, if not the easiest variety to grow. It is the most forgiving variety to grow. If you're a first-time potato grower, I always recommend going with Beauregard. Beauregard is a good variety. It does have a couple of its drawbacks there, but it's more forgiving than any of them. So there we have it on Beauregard. I'm not saying this right. I just pronounced it right this morning. Murasaki. Murasaki. That is right. Murasaki is a potato that was a newer variety developed in Louisiana. It has a purple skin and a white flesh. This is one of those white flesh potatoes. I actually did really well with this variety right here. Mm-hmm. Yield is average. It's a late season harvest that comes in late. And it's a little different, but these perform really well for me. So that's maybe a little bit something different there if you want to say it again.
Murasaki.
Murasaki. Yeah.
Maybe.
You would think it's a Japanese type, but it's developed in Louisiana. All right, Georgia Jet, which is an older variety, and if you've been around for a while, you really know what Georgia Jet is. You recognize it. Been grown for years and years and years. Georgia Jet. It's one of those varieties that was the sweetest sweet potato out there. So if you're looking for a high sugar content, Georgia Jet is probably the way to go. It is susceptible to root knot nematode. It has that orange flesh inside that we're all familiar with those southern varieties. A late season producer. It doesn't make the prettiest sweet potato out there. It is the high sugar content, but sometimes they can get a little gnarly on you. They're not really pretty, and they don't grade out real well for the commercial market. I think Georgia Jets is a perfect variety to grow for the home garden if you're looking for one of those sweet potatoes. Covington, which is probably my favorite, is susceptible to wireworms, so we know that. But Covington has a great disease package, probably a better disease package than any rest of them. I believe Covington was developed by North Carolina State.
And it has the longest storage time.
Yep, it is a good one. It's my favorite. It makes a good, clean, nice-sized potato that grades out well and very consistent in size there. Covington is probably one of my favorites to grow. I think it's probably one of the best ones out there in general, is the Covington right there. But you can buy these sweet potato bundles. We have one on our site where you can grow a little of them off so you can see which one does best for you. So there we have it.
So let's talk about, just recap a little bit. If you order the slips from us, they're shipped
every week. So if you order this week, they'll be shipped next week.
I thought it was shipping by zone.
They are shipping by zone, but say somebody in South Georgia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody in South Georgia orders like on the Wednesday, it won't be shipped to the following week. Okay. But they are shipping by zone. So if you pre-order, they ship by zone. But once the shipping by zone
is... Yeah, if that zone is gone, you'll get them the next week.
Well, and they're going to look rough when you get them, folks. This is naturally with sweet potatoes.
They'll look dead.
They're going to look dead. Plant them. They'll be fine. They'll come out. And don't worry. We're going to take care of you if they don't. But if we get these emails all the time. It's just normal with sweet potato slips. If they're going to look rough when you get them, plant them, they're going to be fine. As long as that stem is green, even if the leaves are dead, it doesn't matter. They're going to root back out.
So if they get them and they're not ready to plant them, do they need to put them in water?
I forgot. What is the recommendation?
No.
No water? No, leave them dry, don't you? Leave them dry. Some people can put them in water and keep them rooted out. I've seen that happen before. The general recommendation is leave them dry. And they'll plant out.
You can miss the roots.
They're resilient. Man, they're just tough, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we had done with some of ours.
I tell you what you could do. You could plant them, and when they come up, you could actually snip the tips off of them and root those again and just keep the cycle going if you want to plant some late sweet potato crop there. So.
Good deal.
Yeah. And then next year, grow your own slips. And then there you have it. It's kind of one of those things that the gift that keeps on giving back.
What variety are you growing this year?
Oh, man, that's going to be I may grow some Georgia Jets this year. I haven't grown Georgia Jets in a while. Covington's, by all means, my favorite. One more thing. Pin potatoes. You guys may not know this. This is a southern term here. If you've talked about it, grown a lot of sweet potatoes, they're going to talk about pin. P-I-N potatoes. This is where that vine runs off out there and pins down, and it'll make normally a small potato. But you hear people talking about pin potatoes all the time. I do when I'm talking to these old time growers. Well, I made a dish crop of pin potatoes. I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
anyhow.
Hope everybody enjoyed the show, enjoyed that little tidbit on sweet potatoes.
Garden Spotlight.
Garden Spotlight. All right.
We have Deborah Collins. North Carolina zone 8A.
Well, that's some pretty red dirt there.
And she's planting her potatoes.
Look at her, got that line out there. That's exactly the way I do it. I draw me a line out there and lay mine off.
She's planting Irish cobbler, Viking, Australia crescent, and German butterballs.
Looks like she got some good help there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got some, what is that, garlic?
Looks like garlic.
Looks like garlic growing there. Nice mm-hmm. raised bed there. So thank you for
thank
sending
you, Deborah.
That. Thank you, Deborah. Yep, Deborah. Got nice red, rich dirt there. All right, so the old goat folks, old goat drawing. The old goat's here on the set somewhere. He moved around a little bit, but he's here on the set. If you find him, put in the comments below where he's at. Next week, this week we'll do the drawing for last week's winner. Next week we'll do the drawing for this week's winner. And last week's winner is
Dennis
Kinnix.
K-E-M-N-I-T-A.
Dennis, we might have butchered your last name, but forgive us for that. Send us your shipping information at
support@growhoss.com.
Yeah, we're still getting used to that. So, thank you, Dennis. We'll send you a wonderful pair of... We just got a new shipment of socks in. Get dirty socks right there. Dennis, you'll be the talk of the town. All right. Thank you for joining us. Sweet potatoes. And maybe plant you some gourds. Maybe some birdhouse gourds. Or maybe any type of gourd. I particularly like to grow birdhouse gourds this year. I'm getting back into the bird thing a little bit. So, thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back.
Good to be back.
Mm-hmm. Now, get outside and get dirty.
Sweet. 34.